Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. That's the day we like to just start off with a little camel action. So hit me some of that camel right there, man.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is. Guess what day it is. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woohoo! It is. You're halfway to the weekend, and it's a beautiful day. I mean, like, wow, it's like a touch of fall is in the air right now. I'm ready to dig out the flannel shirts and just go ahead and get back to wearing my favorite clothes. Anyway, all said and done, middle of the week. JP's on the board. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm not so much a fan of the colder weather.
Don't be throwing cold water on the great weather. I mean, this is awesome.
I walked out and felt the breeze, and I was like, it's summer is officially, you know, while it was still kind of like 70s or 80s, I kind of held on to summer a little bit still. And I was like, nah, I can't do that anymore. I had to bring out the flannel today.
This is my favorite time of the year. Fall's my favorite. Absolute favorite. Yeah. Absolute favorite. It just takes too long to get here sometimes in the spring, in the Alabama region. All right, listen, we got a cool, great show laid on for you. No pun intended, but it's a great show laid on for you. Coming up 4 p.m., you know the deal. We do the Grand Council every week at Wednesday at 4, and this time it's going to be, as always, with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson coming on. So, yeah, Grand Council, 4 o'clock here on a hump day, and then I got a triple dipper just filled up with stuff, so hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper, 3 stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, 3 stories, 3 themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, oh, Lord. If there's a title that Kamala has earned, it's Panderer-in-Chief. So we're going to talk about it. That's number one, the Triple Dipper, the Panderer-in-Chief. I'm going to even dive into that in my monologue. Panderer-in-Chief, number one, Triple Dipper. Number two, at the border. Let us not forget, whereas the southern border used to be in every single news story going on, it seemed like, for months, it seems to have taken a back seat. And, you know, I get it. We've got the war in Israel. We got hurricanes in the United States. We got the election cycle. But let's don't forget that one of the top issues among citizens is the southern border and some new developments therein. I'll break it all down for you. Number two, Triple Dipper at the border. And then number three, Second Amendment, live free or die. Yeah, there's a never-ending attempt by libs, even right here in the state of Alabama, to do away with your Second Amendment, at the very least to encroach upon it or infringe upon it. Well, guess what? It's not supposed to be infringed, so we're going to talk about that. Number three, Triple Dipper, live free or die. All right. Well, listen, let me jump over here to my opening monologue, The Right Side Way. We start the show this way every day with some opening thoughts, and I got to tell you, so here's the thing. We are all bearing witness right now to one of the most desperate attempts to gain votes that we have ever seen. I mean, it's certainly not unheard of, right, for politicians to make campaign promises, but when do you recall there being such a focused effort on one demographic? I mean, we're watching it play out right now as the Harris-Waltz campaign offers up the proverbial free lunch as long as black men will vote for them. It's shameful. It's gross. It's insulting the intelligence of black men everywhere. But let me back up first by telling you a personal story. True story. Years ago, as another part of my varied background, I spent 7 years on staff with Young Life Ministries. So Young Life's a great organization. I still like to say it was the best job I ever had, although this one is running close to it. Young Life is an independent evangelical ministry. It's designed to take the gospel to kids all over the world by going where they are. And one of the mottos of Young Life is Jesus Christ for every kid. So as a part of my time with Young Life, I can tell you, there were so many times I went to the cafeteria of a high school at lunch just to hang out and see my kids. They were great memories, making contact with them on their own turf, going where they go. But I'll be honest with you, the cafeteria at any high school can also be an intimidating place. I mean, kids sit with their friends, sometimes with no friends. It's natural to gravitate toward those you know, to hang out with your favorite folks, but you know, my role was to build relationships and to model Jesus and to just be there with no strings attached. But at one point, I began to become convicted about whether or not I was really doing that. You see, I noticed the kids at Gadsden High School, where I was spending some of my time, they would self-segregate in the lunchroom. All the white kids sat in one area, all the black kids sat in another area. And there wasn't any hostility. No one made folks sit in certain places, but they were just naturally gravitating toward their comfort zones, and they were sitting divided. And so was I. And I became convicted about it. And I made it a point of prayer. And then one day I went to see somebody for help. So Mrs. Donald was one of the school guidance counselors. I always popped in to say hey to she and Mrs. Mitchell. Ms. Donald was black. And on one particular day, I stopped by her office and I asked if she had a minute. And she said, sure. And I sat down and I just up and said, Ms. Donald, I don't feel like I'm doing a good job ministering to the black kids here at Gadsden High, and I don't know how to fix it. Can you tell me what I need to do? And she just stared at me. I mean, like, stared hard for what seemed like forever. Just staring at me without blinking, like she was reading my mind or something. And I thought to myself, oh, Lord, I have stepped in it. And then all of a sudden, she sat back in her chair and she asked, can you be here tomorrow at 7:30 in the morning? And I stuttered out. I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, good. I'm going to have 20 of the young black leaders from the student body in the cafeteria at 7:30, and you're going to tell them what you just told me. And I said, yes, ma'am. Next morning, I showed up, and she was not kidding. She introduced me to 20 black kids who sat and listened respectfully, and a few of them asked questions, and then they went to class. But several of them started coming to Young Life Club. Several of them went to camp with us. I know that several lives were changed. I know my life was changed. But here's the thing. I didn't go in there and promise them stuff. I didn't give them anything more than my time and attention. And it felt awkward as all get out. I'll be honest with you, it was. It was uncomfortable, but it was real. I think they knew that. I did not pander to them. I just told them who I was and that I was there. And listen, I'm no saint. And I won't try to pretend that I solved all the race relations in my community. I didn't. But I have a frame of reference, though, for that awkward divide that does exist in our society. I get it. I know it's there. I have worked through it at times. And I understand, by the way, wanting to bridge that divide. But it can't be fake. It can't be contrived. It has to be real, not based on arm twisting or falsehoods or promises of free stuff. If we're going to bridge racial divides, it will only be done by real people building real relationships. And Kamala Harris has no clue how to do that. So earlier this week, the Harris-Waltz campaign, they trotted out Barack Obama to scold young black men, telling them they need to get on board because Kamala's a woman of color, don't they know? Obama told the group he wasn't feeling the love from the brothers. Well, the insults didn't go over well. So much so that State Representative Vernon Jones, who's a black Republican from Georgia, he asked a question on social media. He said, quote, if Kamala Harris can marry a white man, and then pick a white man as her vice president, then why can't black men elect a white president? It's a fair question. Sounds a lot like common sense. But as the scolding didn't take hold, like they had hoped it would, the Harris-Waltz campaign decided they had to switch from the stick to the carrot. Time to pander, y'all. Time to pander. So yesterday she went on an audio town hall with black radio host Charlamagne tha God, during which she expressed support for a study on how to address reparations. By the way, for those who don't know, when you say study, that's a word that politicians use to pander and do nothing except look like they're trying to do something. But then came the best pander power ever mustered by a campaign. Nothing like I've ever seen before. So yesterday, the panderer-in-chief, she rolled out the most epic layer of fluff and nonsense that political machinations have ever wrought upon our nation. Kamala was proud to announce that she is creating a opportunity agenda just for black men. Just for black men, like she's picking the winners and losers based on skin color. Have you ever heard of anybody in modern history campaigning on racial promises like this? And look, I take note that the campaign put this out as the Kamala Harris opportunity agenda for black men, because I guess since Tim Walz is white, his name can't be attached to it, or something. But in complete disregard for all women, including black women, Asians, Native Americans, Pacific Islanders, Arabs, Persians, Eastern Mongolians, and just plain white folk, Kamala all by herself rolled out an epic 5-point pandering plan designed to lure black men to her candidacy like some kind of creepy miscreant offering kids candy if they'll get in his van for a ride. It's gross. Pray tell, you may wonder, what is in this magic plan that turns the hearts of undecided black men into zealots for Kamala? Well, let me tell you. First, she offers money by providing, and I quote, 1 million loans that are fully forgivable, up to $20,000 for black entrepreneurs to start a business. Well, that's not a loan. That's a bribe. There's a difference. Next, she offers education, training, and mentorship to lead to good-paying jobs for black men to become teachers. Because we all know that skin color makes you a better teacher. Third, she says she will, quote, protect cryptocurrency investments so black men will know their money is safe. I don't even know how to address that one, but I'm pretty sure she doesn't either. Fourth, she will make sure that black men are healthy by launching a national health initiative focused on black men. Never mind anyone else who might be ill or prone to sickness. Time to rescue just one group and one group alone. And lastly, my personal favorite, in a nod to all things racist and weird, Kamala's going to make sure that all black folk got weed. You heard me. The president of the United States, she claims to be, who used to put people in jail, by the way, as a DA for possession of marijuana, she's going to personally make sure that all black folk know that if they want to smoke dope, that this is indeed the land of the free and the home of the buzz. So here's the quote. She will, quote, legalize recreational marijuana and create opportunities for black Americans to succeed in this new industry. Just, like, wow. So Cheech and Chong and their gummies can step aside, because the brothers are getting a grant from Kamala to open up a pot shop. In one fell swoop, Kamala Harris devolved the status of black men in America from being the intelligent contributors to all the American dream stands for, which they are, and relegated them down to a despicable stereotype of poor, uneducated, unhealthy dope smokers who don't know how to manage their money without the government giving them a handout and shepherding their every move. She ought to be ashamed. But she's not. That's what's crazy. She's not ashamed at all. She's like proud of it because she's desperate. So she will pander and she will insult and she will demean an entire demographic of American society because staying in power means the government's got to give you stuff and even give just like certain people stuff while ignoring all the broader implications of that whole plan. Look, the bottom line is that racial divides, well, they are only bridged by relationships, and I mean real and genuine relationships, with a real and genuine desire to actually serve people, not false hope, threats, and pandering promises. Black folks are every bit as smart as anybody else, and they can see this for what it is. They know they're being played. Kamala's flexing her pander power, and it is backfiring like crazy. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, JP, you got 110 sound bites to come out of that one, brother. But listen, I'm telling you, this whole thing is insulting. I mean, the very idea that rather than just be relational and tell people what her policies are and how she's going to help, she is literally saying, I can help you manage your money and I'll give you money. And oh, by the way, here's some pot. Will you vote for me? That has got to be the most asinine thing I've ever heard. And then she picks one skin color to give it to. I mean, how does she even expect this to stand up or be taken serious? I don't know. But it's where we are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Text lines are open. The number, as always, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. Same line, same number for both. Several of y'all have already figured that out. By the way, Pam from Madison, it's not on topic, but it's a great question. She says, hey, Phil, or says, help, where can I find an Alabama Republican voter guide? I've been searching the web and can't seem to find one. Okay, so I'm going to go three places, Pam, and I can't tell you that they are what I would call a Republican voter guide. One of them might be, and here's the deal. First of all, the Secretary of State's website, which is apolitical, is going to wind up having your sample ballot because there's going to be some things you may be voting on in your district that or your locale that nobody else is voting on because there might have been local legislation, there might be local candidates. So all I'm saying is you might want to go see the sample ballot, which I believe should already be posted on the Secretary of State's website under their elections info section. And by the way, I'm saying all this not having gone and checked it out. I just saw your text. I'm giving you three things off the top of my head. The other one that I would strongly suggest you do is take a look at the Alabama Republican Party's website. I don't know for a fact, but in the past, they've been good about posting what they would call, you know, sample ballots. where they encourage you to vote this way on certain things or what the Republican Party platform has said about certain things. So check that out at Alabama Republican Party's website. And then the last one is the Alabama Policy Institute. Alabama Policy Institute's great about posting information related to ballot initiatives, policy positions on legislation that passed. You can find out all kinds of stuff on their website. That's alabamapolicy.org. So there, I just gave you three choices. Secretary of State, Republican Party for the state of Alabama, and the Alabama Policy Institute. Oh, man, they just all of a sudden, I was like, where are all the text messages? And it's like they just queued up and just waited and dropped in all at one time. Jim from Grove Oaks says, hey, Colonel, no matter what Kamala promises to give away, it would pale in comparison to what she would take away from us. Whew, well said, sir, and unfortunately true. John from Huntsville, Phil, awesome monologue. Also, did you hear? A judge in Georgia just blocked the rule that said that votes had to be hand-counted for the upcoming presidential election. Did you also hear? You want to set the dippers for me, man? He says, did you also hear that Elon Musk donated $75 million to a pro-Trump group, making him a Republican mega donor? Elon's been really making waves on those donations and campaign activities. And then, yes, I did hear about the hand-counting rule being blocked. And I don't know the backstory on it, but I'll be checking it out. So thanks, John. Jeff Rowe from Indiana says, Phil, like one of my favorite REO Speedwagon songs, I'm back on the road again. Good to hear. Good to hear. You beat back the China flu. Glad of it. He said, I'm pandering to blacks to sell themselves back to the party of slavery and Jim Crow. It's very degrading. There's no punctuation in all his text. He says, I would think so. So when I hear blacks talking about reparations and voting for the party that fought to keep them slaves, it all falls on deaf ears because you can't on one hand be a member of the party of slavery and on the other hand complain about it. Well-reasoned text without punctuation. Thank you very much. Grace from Madison says, Kamala's so-called plan is the very definition of discrimination against anyone who is not a black male. She's a disgrace to the female race and anything that makes America great. Grace from Madison. I'm just going to hazard a guess, JP, that Kamala's plan is not going over well with the right side ruffian audience.
I would say that that's correct.
just hazarding a guess.
Yeah.
All right, we're taking a break. I got more text messages, and we'll jump right into Dipper number one, the Panderer in Chief. Y'all stay tuned. We will be. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I am talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Man, y'all are some texting machines today. Text lines are still open. You want to call it in, it's 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Talk about Kamala having some pander power. I mean, she is, if she has a new superpower, it's pandering. And the idea that she is going to literally identify one demographic, black men, and say, I'll give you a bunch of stuff. If you're a black man, I'll give you money. I'll give you pot. It'll be great. I mean, you look at it and go, come on, lady, that's embarrassing. You're asking to hold the highest office in the world, really. And that's what you got. I'll give you pot if you'll vote for me. I mean, that is just sad. Stephen from Somerville has checked in on the text line. He says, for me being half black, does that mean I only get half the loan?
that's the real question, right?
Yes.
There.
Yes. I'm sorry, Stephen. You only get half a reparation, dude. And apparently under Kamala's plan, you get half a bud, just saying.
Man, the rationing of it is bad.
Okay. A couple more, then I'll jump on in. Pam from Madison heard my input. She says, API, the Alabama policy, and it's the only one she hadn't checked yet. She will. Somebody else checked in on this, too. Where did it go? TL from Huntsville says, there's a Christian voter guide at faithwins.us. And so I don't know if that's Alabama-specific or just like, you know, in general, but faithwins.us. Thanks, TL. Red from Tony, Alabama says, my youth group at Fort Benning was Young Life 10 to 15 years ago. Did you know a guy named Steve Paquette? I did not know Steve. I came off Young Life staff in 99, so he's probably right after my time But we were also just starting what they call MCYM, the Military Community Youth Ministries, which was Young Life's military outreach for kids. So anyway, glad of it, man. Red, thanks for checking in. Bruce from Springville says, this election cycle is actually spiritual, good versus evil. A satanic figure in female clothes, the only way to defeat her is by doing battle with your vote. I appeal to Christians in all races to vote. Good enough. Thanks, man. Robert from Athens, dear Colonel Phil, the desperate behavior of the Kamala campaign fills me with hope. It may be a sign that Democrats do not have the resources in place to cheat and thereby steal the election. This doesn't mean there won't be trouble, but our republic may be more resilient than the left's madness. Good luck and may God bless America. Robert from Athens. We got some great textures in here, man. They're just spot on. Look, let me jump into that topic. Democrats are panicking. What were you telling me beforehand, too? And I don't track it this way, but apparently it's become quite the thing for the bookies to post their numbers, right?
Oh, yeah. Polymarket is one popular betting site. You can bet on a lot of different things on there. But Trump, as of 5 hours ago, is up to 60% to win. And I believe last week he was like in the 48 or 49%. And so it has shot up around 10 points in about a week. And, they're talking about Kamala. Maybe her internal polling is not looking very good. This, like, today, a lot of polls came out and they tightened tremendously. To where essentially every battleground state is a toss up at this point, which polling tends to favor Democrats. So if it's a toss up in those, then that's not good, because Trump very well could have the edge in those states.
Yeah, and not only that, but when you compare it to where the numbers were this time in the 2016 and 2020 elections, you can see where this is an entirely different sort of construct than what we had back then. Mm-hmm. And Trump was notoriously under polling back in those days too.
Yeah.
While
the polls have tightened tremendously, the betting markets have shot up for Trump. So
what do we call that? The bookie poll?
The bookie poll, yeah.
The bookie poll.
Well, the poll with actual money behind it. So,
Okay, there's that.
Yeah.
All right. And by the way, to add to what he just said, so WokeSpy is a site that I pull my resources from sometimes. WokeSpy has a piece, Democrats enter panic mode as Trump tightens the race in swing states. So I'm going to jump into this pandering in chief thing, but I got to kind of lay the foundation for it. JP just brought up the fact that the bookie sites are now going like way up, like in double digit increases for Trump. You've got this one from WokeSpy. Democrats are anxious about recent polling data. This is Dateline yesterday, by the way. And by the way, let our caller know I got to jump in this material for a bit, so it's going to be a while, all right? He may want to call back. Kamala Harris has held a small but noticeable lead over Donald Trump since President Joe Biden announced his intention to stand aside at the upcoming presidential election. She had a honeymoon period, it notes, for a fresh face boosting her popularity, but the race is now tightened. So here's where we are. Within the battleground states, there's three of them that are considered swing states right now. Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania especially is considered to be like, with 19 electoral college votes, it's crucial. Whoever wins Pennsylvania may well be the next president of the United States. Michigan and Wisconsin, they're strong. They've got 7 each electoral votes. Harris had a 2 to 3 point percentage lead, right? It has shrunk to being a toss-up. Her 1 point lead that she sort of holds now, depending on how you look at things. By the way, the margin of error is like 4 points. So that means, wow, this is like, it's beyond close. It's anybody's game right now in those states. But if you look at where she was in 20, where Democrats were in 2016 and 2020, it says Hillary Clinton was leading Biden. Hillary Clinton and Biden both led by 8 and 7 points respectively in those states at this time in their elections. Wow. Trump would go on then to perform even considerably better, despite the fact that polling showed him down by 7 or 8 points. So that's where we are. Is there a panic going on? I think you can smell it. You can smell the fear. You can smell the fear. There is a thrashing in the water right now as they're getting tired of treading and they're not sure what to do. So what's your solution? Well, you go out there and you look at the polls and you try to find something that you can grab hold of that says we can fix that one. And that's what they're doing. So they've gone into two routes here that have just become laughable in recent days. Men, and then specifically next, black men. Watching their media efforts. I mean, yesterday we're sitting here in the studio and I looked at JP and I said, who does the Harris Waltz social media? It is to the point of being laughable. And I think you said what? Some like 16-year-old
some Gen Zer probably around my age.
Exactly. Well, you would do a better job, let me just say. So I got an article here from the New York Post that talks about the fact that one of the first things they did was they came out and they started belittling men. Like literally just belittling men. Like the headline of the article, New York Post, Dateline today, yesterday, Democrats have a man problem and belittling them is only making it worse. Some of what they've been putting out, I'm sitting here watching it, and I think it's as if Sheldon Cooper from Big Bang Theory tried to create a Manly Man ad. Like, this is what he thinks that Manly Man must be, because he's not one, so it must be this stereotype. And he goes out and tries too hard and makes it all worse. So last week, they began to realize they weren't gaining ground with men. In fact, they were losing big. The article I've got here said, dudes just aren't into her. So there's that. Trump is increasingly, though, by the way, attracting these demographics that used to always be Democrat strongholds. They're slipping in the double digits with the black vote leaving. They don't know what to do about the fact that the Teamsters did not endorse them. I mean, these are their groups, right? This is their peeps. They're supposed to have it. You can't take them away from us. Those are our votes. I got news. They're sick of being treated like, you know, cattle. So the strategy then comes out to try to, you know, sway men to this feckless presidential candidate they've got. And the way they do it is by calling them misogynists and reducing them to Carhartt caricatures is what it says here. What are you shaking your head about over there?
The Carhartt.
Carhartt.
by the way, I don't know who this lady was, but I saw a clip of her on CNN talking about Kamala potentially going on the Joe Rogan podcast. And she was like, you know, Joe Rogan's has a strongly male audience who may have not even heard anything Kamala Harris has ever said. It's like, really? You think men are that stupid?
They do.
Yeah.
They do think men are that stupid. Well, and by the way, Joe Rogan is like, he's somewhat of a toxically masculine man. So he's probably spent so much time in the gym and taking human growth hormone that he doesn't understand.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to go woman-splain him, I guess.
Or enlighten his dumb male audience.
That's exactly right. So it gets worse when you see that they started focusing then on black men. By the way, let me go back to the men thing. I will say this. If you haven't seen it, I've already mocked it once before, but they put out a piece called the Man Enough commercial. This is the one that Sheldon Cooper must have made for them. The Man Enough commercial. It's got like this bunch of male actors all butched up, right? I'm wearing jeans and flannel clothes. I must be a man. And he looks like a good wind could blow him over. Like, give that man a sandwich, please. And then you got the guy who, I ain't afraid to deadlift 500 pounds, and I can also braid the crap out of my daughter's hair. What are we doing here? And then I can cook my steak rare and drink double barrel bourbon and still be sensitive in front of my wife. Nobody talks like this. And then they end it with saying, and I'm man enough to support a woman for president. Kay, I'm pretty sure some of y'all are. But we also found out later on they were actors. Bad actors, but actors. I mean, it's beyond cringe. It's really getting to the point of just being embarrassing. And then you look at, okay, what are they doing to black men? Well, I mentioned in my monologue a moment ago, first thing they did was they trotted out Barack Obama. Got to fix this. Who's the best one we got? Isn't Barack still considered hip? Are they into him? Let's bring him out. Okay. Break glass. Emergency. Bring out Barack Obama. What does he do? He goes into a shame on you speech. He goes into a shaming for the vote. He literally scolded a group of black men saying that they were lacking energy. He wasn't feeling the energy from the brothers, he said, for the female candidate. And he tried to tell them, don't you understand? Kamala's got, you know, she's got the gravitas. Don't you understand? I mean, she's got it going on. I mean, she knows where you've been. She's been on those streets. I mean, this whole speech was just, it was a scolding, and it was also pretty gross, and it was kind of weird when you consider that he had to leave Martha's Vineyard, where his mansion is, to come there to give the speech about the mean streets. And then on top of that, he's half white himself, although he doesn't like to play that up. And oh, by the way, Kamala is married to a white guy. Well, and oh, by the way, Kamala selected her her vice presidential candidate, and it's Elmer Fudd, the white guy. And so you look at it and go, what are you doing? And I said in my monologue earlier, if you didn't hear it, Vernon Jones, who is a conservative black Republican over in Georgia, he made the point. He said, if all that stuff is true, if Kamala can marry a white guy, and if she can also, oh, by the way, have a white VP, then how come black men can't vote for a white president if they want to? It's a great question. So what did she do? She came out with a plan. I'm going to break it down in more detail after the break. But, y'all, this is some pander power right here. The panderer in chief has now offered up all of the goodness, all of the Christmas trees. Everybody's going to get a take-home gift from the Kamala campaign. Take me to a break there, JP. We'll do it. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, number one, Triple Dipper, panderer in chief. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades, and they can't handle it. I got somebody right now trolling me on Twitter. By the way, you can follow me personally on Twitter. We have Right Side Media has its own X feed, as well as Instagram and all the rest of it. Me, on personal account is at Sen Phil Williams. It's S-E-N Phil Williams. And I've got a guy on here who's an absolute racist, who is taking me to task, believing that there's not a single thing out there that conservatives would ever say that black people would be a part of. And then he just really said, Philly here ignores that his party barely has a smidgen of black people who align with their party outside of social media. And I'm just going down the line. I just started naming Clarence Thomas, Ben Carson, Condoleezza Rice, Sage Steele, Thomas Sowell, Shelby Steele, Larry Elder, David Webb, Walter Williams, Byron Daniels, John James, Ada Fisher, Star Parker, Candace Owens, Eldridge Cleaver. I'm just going to keep going. It's about policy. I mean, granted, I'm fully aware that for reasons that I can't fully embrace or explain, the Democrat Party has had the bulk of what we would call the black vote for decades. Even though the Democrat Party is the party of the KKK, they are the party of slavery, they are the party which opposed, you know, the civil rights movement. It's nonetheless, they have somehow or another been embraced by the bulk of the black vote. But I think that more and more what you're seeing is, with the age of information being so easily and readily attainable, people are not in the dark anymore. Those who want to know can know. And so that being said, There's a shifting. I don't want to call it an age of enlightenment, but you know what I'm saying. There's a lot of folks. In fact, Candace Owens she coined the phrase the Blacksit. She was calling it the Blacksit, that encouraging people to recognize that if you do not feel like your life is better off, then why do you keep voting Democrats in? And it's a great point. So Harris has proposed this 1 million forgivable loans to black entrepreneurs. You have to look at this and go, you know, I'm pretty sure what you're going to find is that's called unconstitutional. They already got their hand slapped about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, when the Biden-Harris administration tried to do a loan program just for black farmers. And the Supreme Court shot it down and said that's unconstitutional. You cannot give money or benefits to a single demographic. And yet, what's she doing? Story here on CNBC. Vice President Kamala Harris unveiled her opportunity agenda for black men, which includes a proposal of forgivable loans up to $20,000 to black entrepreneurs. Let me just go ahead and point out that if it's a forgivable loan, that means it's free money. So how would this work? I mean, and what are the qualifications? I need to know, JP, if I identify as black, do I get one of these loans? Is that the way this is going to work?
Likely not, no.
Well, they make the rules. We're allowed to identify. What if I am now demographic fluid?
But it's funny, is if you identified as female, you would probably get certain female benefits, but it doesn't apply.
I would at least get free feminine hygiene products.
Yeah.
That's a guarantee. Yes, in the men's room. But that being, Tim Walz would see to it. But right now, there's how are they going to manage this? Because you talk about fraud. I mean, they're going to have people that, are they going to have a percentage of their DNA makeup examined to see whether they fully qualify? Do they have to be more than 50% black to qualify? Are they gonna have to have a certain amount of melanin in their skin before they're allowed to qualify? How are they gonna manage this? There's no way.
I don't know, but the racism behind you can't do it on your own, you need this government handout is
thank you.
That's the part that surprises me they don't see through.
You just pushed me to the next point I was about to make. That's exactly right. They are literally saying you can't get by without government. You have to have an entitlement mentality. Here, we'll take care of you because we know you can't take care of yourself. Oh my gosh. And it's going to be struck down. If she even gets this off the ground, well, she's not going to, because we're not going to see her get elected. So there's that. But right now, CNBC even looks at this and goes, yeah, that's probably not going to work. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll wrap this up right after the break. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on Hump Day. We're going to get you all the way to go home time and through the rest of the week to the weekend. So let me wrap this thing up, and I'll take some text messages too. So this plan she's got, Kamala, this plan she's got that's, you know, going to make the world better for black men only. It's, first of all, it's sick. It's disgusting. It's absolutely asinine. It's insulting. It's demeaning to black men everywhere. It's also comical. That's the thing, is you look at it and go, there's a Saturday Night Live skit in here. I mean, what you basically did with this plan was you just said to all the black men in America, y'all don't know how to handle your money, and y'all don't know how to maintain your own good health, and y'all just need some pot to smoke. And oh, by the way, I'm going to make sure and give you some free money because you don't know how to get some capital for a business without the government doing it for you. There, how you like me now? That's what she's doing. She just completely demeaned and insulted an entire demographic in America. And some of this you look at and go, okay, I got the CNBC article talking about some of this, and they point out exactly what I said. With regards to her, now she has part of the five-point plan, is she's going to make sure that black men know their cryptocurrency is safe. What? I'm not kidding you. That's the plan. I've got it right here. Protect cryptocurrency investments so black men who make them know their money is safe. That's point number three on the five-point plan. I just read it to you verbatim. So what does that mean? Well, CNBC says, Harris knows that more than 20% of black Americans own or have cryptocurrency assets, which is why her plans will make sure owners of and investors in digital assets benefit. It is not clear what that framework would look like, they say. We have no idea, even though we're supposed to be like a network that's based upon like economics. We have no idea what she means, but we know why she's saying it. I know why she's saying it. She's pandering. How about the, and then my favorite is still number five. Look, and by the way, I'm holding up the plan. I've got it right here in the camera. I'm holding up the plan. Number five on the plan is the one that, listen, if Saturday Night Live doesn't do a skit on this, they are missing the moment. But she's literally got number five on the plan. Legalize recreational marijuana and create opportunities for black Americans to succeed in this new industry. All God's children know, if you're a black man, you need some weed. That's what she said. I'm just giving you the interpretation. It's messed up. Oh, by the way, she's running for president of the United States, leader of the free world, commander-in-chief of the military. Yeah. Handyman from Keto says, are we going to have a white-only and a black-only entrance to the bank now? You know what? If you're applying for the loan, I guess so. Jim from Grove Oak says, the third definition of pander in my 10-pound, 64-year-old dictionary is pimp. How fitting. Wow. Wow. Is it really? If you're pandering, then you're pimping? Wow. Okay. Ryan from Hazel Green says, I'd rather see Kamala go to the Sean Ryan show. That'd be more interesting in my opinion. Can I make a motion to start calling her, calling Harris Kamikaze? She's metaphorically killing herself to take out the enemy. Kamikaze Harris. That's really not bad. That's Kamikaze Kamala at the very least.
It fits.
It does fit.
It fits.
Well played, Ryan. Give him some applause on that one. I think he deserves it. That's pretty good. Ryan from Hazel Green. Crystal from Moulton says, when you talk about Charlemagne, please don't extend his name any longer. God Almighty is still on the throne. Charlemagne is not. You're right, although it is God with a little g.
I was going to say lowercase g.
Yeah, lowercase g, I think, is absolutely. Ken from Harvest says, you ought to apologize for comparing Tim Walz to Elmer Fudd. Yes, Elmer Fudd deserves an apology. He is much more masculine than Tim. This audience is brutal today. Brian from Huntsville says, twisted laugh. Close to Halloween, she's failing in the polls because she's scared of someone throwing a bucket of water on her. Oh, you see what she did? Nice. Well played, Brian. Jeff from Indiana says, Kamala's pandering is more like Pandora's box. You don't want to open that thing. Only bad things will happen. Well, I get it. And listen, I don't know. I don't know if here's part of my question as we wind this up before I get to the break. Imagine, if you will, the Harris campaign staff sitting around the conference table. What are we going to do? How are we going to fix this? I don't know. Anybody got ideas? Let's start putting them on the whiteboard. Let's go ahead and whiteboard these ideas. You ready? We're gonna go ahead and war game this. And then they start coming up with ideas. And somebody says, let's give them pot. Oh, put that on the list. And somebody else says, I think they're all scared of their crypto. We ought to say we'll make their crypto safe. Right. For black men only? Right. For black men only. Okay. And they're writing this on the board. And they're looking at each other like they really got it going on. Imagine the meeting. And then I have to also wonder, was Kamala in the meeting? Were any of these her ideas? Or at the very least, did she go, I like that one, keep that on the list?
None of her ideas are her ideas, considering all the flip-flops she's had. She's being told what to say. And like I say that jokingly, but look, I mean, she's flip-flopped on almost every major issue.
So she is merely a sock puppet at this point.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, Joe Biden was too. Joe Biden also flip-flopping it. I mean, the past, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are just puppets for the Democratic Party at this point. And, you know, from fracking to now being pro-marijuana after putting over 1,900 people in jail for marijuana while she was DA. Yep. I mean, she doesn't have an authentic belief that she has it flip-flopped.
There's not an authentic bone in her body. Mm-hmm. All right, so let me ask you this then, just while you're opining with me. In that meeting, in that wargaming session, in that whiteboarding they did of the plan, okay, we got to come up with a plan. What's the plan going to have? Got to keep it simple. Got to keep it, you know, use the KISS principle, keep it simple and stupid. So it's only 5 points. Okay, 5 points. Do you think they had like 10 or 12 points and they weeded it down to five? Were these the best of best five of the points they had? What do you think?
No, I think these are the five that they came, like the I think that's all they came up with. I think that's all they came
They're
up
like,
with.
They're like, I don't know, I got nothing.
And I don't think Kamala is in those meetings. No, they she look may over, be in them, but she's being told what to do.
They look over to the left side of the table. Jim, you've been rather quiet. What have you got to add? I got nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, so we got five. We got to do something. Okay, we'll go with five. Just go with five. So that's what they did. They went with five.
I think so. And I think, you know, she's being directed in this campaign, you know, being told, you should probably go on the Joe Rogan podcast, Kamala. You should probably do this. You should probably say this next.
I hope,
you know,
Brett Baer wears her out on Fox today about this five-point plan. Mm-hmm. I hope he gets her on the flip-flopping. I hope he gets her on Afghanistan, big time. I hope he gets her on the border, big time. And I hope he takes this five-point plan and looks at her and goes, really? That's what you got? 2 weeks before the election? Oh, by the way, here's a piece that no one's even talked about yet. Let's go ahead and be the first ones on right side. She's in office right now. If she wants to do this stuff, Why isn't she going, hey, Joe, listen, I got an idea, and since I'm going to be the one, I need you to start doing it now. And then have a big signing session and announce, I have used the position that I have been given by the voters to do these things for you now. Why is she going to wait till next year?
That's a great question. I don't have an answer for that.
if you can legalize pot and give away free money and make crypto safer for black men only, then why are we not doing it now?
That's genius.
Last few texts, and I'll go to the break. Mike from Coxie says Elmer Fudd can load a shotgun. Yes, yes, he can. Chris from Huntsville says her mama called her commie. She's a sideshow at a lost circus. Bogus Joe's own. Listen, I can't tell what's happening here with his voice text or something. Anyway, bottom line is it's going away. Ken from Harvest says there's no whiteboard in Kamala's meetings. It's not diverse enough. The pens probably don't work either. Take me to a break, JP. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back and change the topic. We're going to the border next, you guys, which, by the way, she was the border czar, so we'll see how that goes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. You know what? I had a soundbite. I didn't even call for it. I don't know if we even need it. Kamala also, by the way, did say that she is open to the idea of reparations.
It's only since 7 seconds. I think it's worth playing.
You want to play it?
Sure.
All right. Let me call for it then. Audio clip number 3. Go ahead and give me a thumbs up. You good on that? You ready? 3. Go for it.
Well, first of all, on the point of reparations, it has to be studied. There's no question about that. And I've been very clear about that position. Well, first of all.
So this is a national podcast she did, was it yesterday, day before?
Yesterday. This was her town hall with Charlemagne the God. Yeah.
Yeah. And she was asked the question, where are you on reparations? And her point is that, wow, she is for studying it.
The video is way behind right now.
But I don't know. Listen, she's got nothing. You can tell she's lost all her mojo right now. All her mojo is gone. And she is now to the point of pandering for votes. And who was it that said earlier that their dictionary says the number 3 definition for pandering is pimp? Kind of tells you a lot. All right. You know, we're going to switch gears now. Let me go to number 2 on the Triple Dipper. And I am going to call here momentarily for audio clip number 1, JP. So the southern border. Let's talk about at the border. Because right now, Democrats are freaking out over the polls, but they also know that one of the issues, when you do issues-based polling, you're polling just what people think about a certain thing. Like, you may have the favorable, unfavorable pollings. You may have the, if you are more likely to vote today polling, who would you vote for? And then they have the issues-based polling where they'll ask you specific questions like, where are you on the economy? And which candidate do you feel best serves your concerns regarding the border? And then sometimes they just flat out ask you, what is your number one of these top 5 things? What is your number one? And they rank them. Well, the southern border issues are still one of the top issues for voters in America. And they're vacillating back and forth, depends upon what's going on, but it's economy and border and economy. And that's, those have been the top 2 for quite a while. They are losing on both. Nobody in the world believes that Kamala is going to do a great job on the border. Why? Because she's been in charge of it as the border czar, even though she doesn't want to admit it, and the press has tried to cover for her. The press has tried desperately to cover for her. To the point now we're starting to see things happening in the press where it's as if they want to, A, realign the story, and B, portray things as being not what they are, and then when they're so bad they can't not acknowledge them, they have to at least play them down. One of the most egregious examples of this came up just the other day. Martha Raddatz from, where is she from? CNN? MSNBC?
ABC.
ABC.
Yes.
All right, one of them. She's from one of the acronym media sites, but Martha Raddatz was interviewing J.D. Vance. And I know some of y'all have already seen this, but I'm gonna play this clip because she has the audacity to play down the the fact that Venezuelan gangs have been taking over apartment complexes as if, well, there's not a lot of them. Go ahead and play audio clip number one.
The incidents were limited to a handful of apartment complexes, and the mayor said our dedicated police officers have acted on those concerns. A handful of problems.
A handful.
Only, Martha, do you hear yourself? Only a handful of apartment complexes in America were taken over by Venezuelan gangs, and Donald Trump is the problem and not Kamala Harris's open border. Americans are so fed up with what's going on, and they have every right to be. And I really find this exchange, Martha, sort of interesting because you seem to be more focused with nitpicking everything that Donald Trump has said rather than acknowledging that apartment complexes in the United States of America are being taken over by violent gangs. I worry so much more about that problem than anything else here. We've got to get American communities in a safe space again. And unfortunately, when you let people in by the millions, most of whom are unvetted, most of whom you don't know who they really are, you're going to have problems like this. Kamala Harris, 94 executive orders that undid Donald Trump's successful border policies. We knew this stuff would happen.
They
bragged about opening the border, and now we have the consequences, and we're living with it. We can do so much better, but frankly, we're not going to do better, Martha, unless Donald Trump calls this stuff out. I'm glad that he did.
All right, so what you couldn't see, because that clip stopped right there. Great clip, by the way. By the way, great job, J.D. Vance, looking at her saying, do you hear yourself? I mean, she has the audacity, and did you hear the strident tone in her voice? As if she's upset. It's only a handful. I mean, she's bummed that they're having to even talk about it, but since I am. What
I was going to say, that's a handful too many.
It's a handful too many, and that's his point. He said, do you hear yourself that in the United States of America, we have Venezuelan gangs taking over apartment complexes, and you're going to say it's only a handful? Like, okay, that matters? Anyway, the bottom line is this. She was strident. She was downplaying it. He schooled her, and the part that you didn't get to hear, because I didn't have the longer version of the clip, but I'll tell you right now, she doubled down. After he schooled her, she doubled down again and then basically did one of those, next question. Ended it with her comment about, well, it's still only a half. Next question. Let's do the next question then. Because she wasn't getting anywhere. And she was put on notice. Not only are you wrong, but you're ridiculous. The southern border is a thing, and right now Democrats are self-owning themselves on a regular basis. It's like they're just punching themselves in the face every time we turn around, not the least of which is Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton. They trotted out Bill Clinton, who looks like a zombie, by the way, now. But Bill Clinton was out there the other day talking about issues related to illegal immigration. I don't know if he meant to do this, but he literally said, with regards to Laken Riley, the young lady who was murdered in Georgia by an illegal alien, you know, she'd still be alive if they were properly vetted. Did you hear what you said, sir? Because she was not properly vetted by the Harris administration. Well, you know, we got everything with Laken Riley. If they had been properly vetted, she'd probably still be alive. Well, that, my friends, is called a self-own. That is literally poking yourself in the eye. They know it, and I got more on it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gaston, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Listen, while I'm on this, let me just jump into the topic again. I'm talking about the entire at the border scenario. What are we seeing? What are we still experiencing? Let's not forget where we are. So if you got Laken Riley being killed, and now you have the admission on the campaign trail, by the way, from none other than Bill Clinton, that, well, you know, if he'd been properly vetted, she'd still be here. Well, okay. How about this one? Story on Daily Wire, Dateline 2 days ago. A Nashville restaurant that's been around for 10 years, It's a barbecue place called Smokin' Thighs. But the owner, 42-year-old Matt Carney, died in July from injuries sustained during an incident in the parking lot of his own restaurant. When an illegal alien named 29-year-old Ulysses Martinez, an illegal immigrant, admitted to striking Carney with his truck during an attempted robbery. The restaurant is now going to close. It's a local staple in the community where it is, and the family's upset, but they said they can't go on right now. They can't do it because it was his business and he ran it. And so they have an illegal alien that ran him down to the parking lot while trying to commit other crimes. And because of that, a man lost his life, a family lost their husband and father, and a business is shutting down in Nashville. And that kind of stuff happening, you hate the idea of the left trying to downplay it like, well, it only happens in a few instances, not like it's everywhere. It doesn't have to be everywhere. That should not have happened. That should not have happened. Lake and Riley might still be alive. That gentleman, whose name I believe was Andy Carney, would still be alive. That business would still be there. That family would still be thriving. You've got this. You got these apartment complexes where people are living in terror because their doors are being kicked in. They're being beaten in the hallways because Venezuelan gangs have taken over. You've got another story that I don't even have in my stack right here of the baby gangers up in, I think it's New York City, or maybe it's Chicago. And they're Tren de Aragua, but they're like 11 to 12 years old, roaming the streets. And then I've got audio clip. I'm going to go ahead and call for it. Let's go for audio clip number two. And this one is I pulled this one off of an interview on, what's the name of the show? Is it New York Today?
Good Day, New York.
Good Day, New York. Good Day, New York ran an interview with a member of law enforcement talking about what they're facing on the streets. Listen to this description of what they're seeing with the illegals.
What started out as a robbery crew, upwards of 50 robberies, 20 individuals arrested for upwards of 50 robberies. And out of those 20 individuals, every single one of them is on the streets today.
So, that's crazy. Now, there are reports that they're operating the Roosevelt Hotel, which used to be a very nice hotel in New York City. Now it's a migrant shelter. What are we talking about? What's going on inside this hotel that is now spilling out into the Times Square area?
Yeah, I mean, there's actually a recruitment process. And
so what he's going on to say there, there's a recruitment process. So this is a beautiful hotel, the Roosevelt Hotel, turned into a migrant shelter. From that migrant shelter, there's a recruitment process of people to commit crimes. They've got a gang of 20 illegals that have committed over 50 armed robberies, and they keep getting released because of the sanctuary city policies of the weak DA in the New York area. And he says, and they're still on the street. And you could hear the commentator who's with him going, that's crazy. They're still on the street. How about this story from Breitbart? Dateline 2 days ago, a new migrant caravan of approximately 1,000 migrants departed from Mexico's southern border this past weekend to make its way to Mexico City. And from there, they expect to disperse and find various ways to reach the U.S. border. Remember the caravans? They're still out there. They're still going. This story, just because it's not the top story on the news right now, but with everything else going on, with all the election, with the hurricanes, with the war in Israel, do not forget that what we've been seeing for the last 4 years has not abated. It is still there. The caravan, it says on Breitbart, comprises approximately 1,000 migrants from places like Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Haiti, Panama, Costa Rica, as well as some from Afghanistan and Nepal. The group plans to make its way to Mexico City, the ultimate goal of getting across the U.S. border. That is happening as we speak. How about this? Then there's the question of elections. Right here in Alabama, Attorney General Steve Marshall is, by the way, Attorney General Steve Marshall will be here in our studio next Wednesday. But Attorney General Marshall has now asked for dismissal of the DOJ's lawsuit against Alabama for daring to take non-citizens off of our voter rolls. I mean, for the love. Attorney General Steve Marshall, according to 1819 News, Dateline yesterday, asked a federal judge on Monday to dismiss multiple lawsuits brought by the DOJ and left-wing groups against the state of Alabama and our Secretary of State, Wes Allen, to challenge a state program that aims at removing ineligible voters from its election rolls. All we're doing is cleaning up the rolls. All we're doing is saying that if by law they're not supposed to even be registered, much less vote, then why don't we just take their names off the list? Yeah, Let's do that. Guess what? The DOJ's accusation is not that you shouldn't have done it or that law should allow it. The DOJ's accusation is you were 2 days too late. Really? So now you want us to leave them on there? That's your goal? There's a thing in the law called excusable neglect. That's where a thing happened, but no one could have seen it. And you did the best you could, but you were a little bit late getting there. And how about we give a guy a break? Secretary of State Wes Allen, right here in Alabama, has reportedly identified 3,251 non-citizens in our state voter rolls. Now, some of those non-citizens are going to be non-U.S. citizens. Some are going to be people who are non-citizens of the state, like they've moved to Georgia. All I'm saying, though, is the Attorney General is having to fight to get this done. It's not just Alabama. Which one do I want here? I'll take this one from the Washington Examiner. The Department of Justice has recently filed a lawsuit against Virginia, dateline yesterday, marking the second attempt in as many weeks from the federal government to stop states from cleaning up their voter registration lists leading up to the election. Why? Why would they do this?
Well, it's important that we focus our efforts on making sure that you don't, you know, stop or infringe upon the rights of non-citizens.
What? The DOJ's lawsuits against Virginia and Alabama came only after the department has also filed a lawsuit in Wisconsin and intervened in cases in Arizona and Ohio. It's a mess, y'all. This is literally... So the governor, Glenn Youngkin, has criticized the DOJ, rightfully so, calling the lawsuit a desperate attempt to attack the legitimacy of elections in the Commonwealth. Y'all, this border area, this border issue that we've got, is still an active issue. You got caravans coming our way. You got crime in our cities. You got people that are being killed. And granted, I know it's not every minute, every day, and that every one of them that comes across the border is a bad person. I know that. But if one criminal comes across the border and impacts the life of one American citizen negatively, or for that matter, gets on our voter rolls and casts a vote they shouldn't have cast, that's one too many. One too many. And the Democrats are doing all they can to minimize this issue. Story here in Ohio from The Federalist. Dateline, 2 days ago. A poll worker tells The Federalist that trainers have told her she is not the ID police and threaten her job if she presses the issue. What are we talking about? It's the County Board of Elections. Her name is Sue Mazzarini. She was surprised last month when the Fairfield County Board of Elections, when they were training staff, skipped over an entire session that was dedicated to ensuring that illegals have to provide forms of photo identification to vote. So she looked at it and thought, well, hang on a second. And when she asked the question, she was told, you're not the ID police. That's not your job. That's what you want to do. I recommend you search out an entity to allow you to use those skills. That's not what you're here for. Yes, actually, it is what she's there for. If she's a poll worker, guess what? Her job is to work the polls in accordance to state law. And if it requires proof of ID, then they don't provide it, then she doesn't hand them a ballot. That's kind of the way these things work. But Ohio election officials are apparently blocking the ability to keep poll workers from making sure that foreign nationals don't vote. Don't think this is going to stop. So what's Trump going to do? When we get back from this break, that's the thing. I want to end it with this. If Trump got elected, what's he going to do? Well, we got some clues. We do. Go ahead and take me to a break, JP. We'll take that break right now. We'll come right back, and I'm going to wrap up this At the Border discussion with a discussion about, I don't know, bolstering the border, deportations. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we're back, and I'm on this topic right now of the at the border. So it do not let them try to portray to you that the border is not as much of an issue as it used to be, because it's every bit. Now, are the numbers down? They are down. You know why they're down? Not because of the Biden-Harris administration. They're down because of what's happening with Texas. Texas is doing an epic good job as a state, expending massive resources in Operation Lone Star
to secure its border as best it can without help from the federal government. That being said, I look at it and go, wow, okay, you're going to claim the numbers are down and pretend you're the one doing it when you're suing the state of Texas trying to make them stop. Well, so we've got a couple of stories here, one from the Washington Examiner, one from the AP, and one that I pulled right off of New York One. So New York One story first. If Trump being elected, which right now I'm just praying that he is, but Trump being elected, what would he do? How would he address the southern border? What are his plans? Because, granted, you know he's different on the border than Harris would be. Well, he gave a speech the other day, in case you haven't heard it. This is Dateline 2 days ago. Former President Donald Trump has announced a plan to add 10,000 Border Patrol agents and also give them a $10,000 signing and retention bonus if he's elected. So I think one of the first things he has to do is he has to shore up the troops. And I think this is a great, this is a part of the plan. You have to provide the troops the understanding that it's a new day and we're going to bolster your ranks. We're not going to tie all kinds of liberal Democrat stringers to it. We're not going to put amnesty and the processing of illegals into our country. No, it's going to be just friggin' give them a bonus if they'll stay on board, a bonus if they'll sign up for the first time. And by the way, build out the budget and get 10,000 more of them down there. Let's build a stronger force on our southern border. I think it's a great plan. He also said he's going to ask Congress to not only approve, he's going to approve 10% raises across the board. So bonuses for retention, bonuses for recruitment, bonuses for, increases in COLAs, cost of living adjustments. And then he also, by the way, is going to go straight into the idea of deportation. Now, and I get it, I'm a lawyer. There's a bit of a nut here he's got to crack. But he is determined to go forward with the idea of deportation. Piece that I pulled off of, I got two of them here. One's the most recent. I'll take this one first. September, AP, September 22nd. Trump's goal of mass deportations fell short, but he has new plans. Okay. So they're trying to say, it's going to be very hard for you to do it. You didn't do as good as you did before. They're trying to say that Barack Obama deported more people than Trump did. I think we need to remember that Trump had to fight everything against a liberal base that was determined to take everything he did to court, to deny him access in Congress, when he tried to set aside funds for the border wall, they said, you can't do that. It's unconstitutional. On and on and on. Ocasio-Cortez went down there with her white outfit on and cried. I mean, everything was, anyway. One particular law professor, a guy named Joseph Nunn, but he also works for the Brennan Center, and so I question it because that's a liberal think tank. Brennan Center, he says, what Trump seems to be contemplating is potentially lawful. There might not be a lot of legal barriers. It's going to be logistically extraordinarily complicated and difficult, and the military's not going to like it. They're going to drag their feet as much as they can, but it's possible. Talking about deportations. Trump calls it the largest deportation program in U.S. history. Well, it's going to have to be. But what's he going to do? Well, we have some clues. Stephen Miller, one of his top aides, offered clues in interviews and rallies, taking a different approach. He says they could benefit from lessons learned during their 4 years, but also looking at the fact that they now have judges in place. We've got a potential right here where he says, and this is interesting, he actually called out Alabama. Stephen Miller says troops under sympathetic Republican governors would send troops to nearby states that refuse to participate. He says the Alabama National Guard, this is what he says, is going to arrest illegal aliens in Alabama and the Virginia National Guard in Virginia. And if you're going into an unfriendly state like Maryland, well, there would just be Virginia doing the arrest in Maryland right very close nearby. I don't know if he can do that. But then you get into the logistics of what's happening with the deportation itself. How does he do this? And by the way, liberals are already screaming, he's going to separate families. By the way, how many kids are missing right now under the Biden-Harris administration? How many children came across the border and have been sent into God knows what kind of trafficking because no one can track down where they are? Hundreds of thousands of children gone. But Trump's going to separate families. He never said that. We'll ship them home together. But we're looking at right now is Trump has a plan to incite the use of the 1798 what's it called? The Hostile Aliens Act, I believe. Basically, what he's going to have to do in order to make this happen, he has to declare that there is a hostile force on U.S. soil. Name it. Tren de Aragua, MS-13, the cartels.
It's the Alien and Sedition Act.
Alien Sedition Act, thank you. If he names them as a he has to as a president, he has to name them as a hostile force and create a national emergency by doing so, at which point he can then arrest them and immediately deport them. And then who's going to fly them? Oh, it's a logistical nightmare. But he's got the opportunity to do it. He says he's going to do it. And folks, I think he's going to have to do it. In fact, if he doesn't, I think that there's going to be an outcry. All right, we'll try again. I think it's Brian from Huntsville. I got about a minute. Let's go take that call real quick. Brian, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. Ingress versus egress as far as the border goes. Trump had it right. Leave them over there because the first, unless they are actually Mexican citizens applying for refugee status, if they came in there, I'm sorry, Mexico needs to hold on to them. We need to go back to that.
Remain in Mexico, bring it back, man. I agree. Hey, thanks for trying again, Brian. Appreciate you calling, man.
Thanks, sir.
Absolutely. All right, we're taking a break. Coming up next, the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right, and we will be back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. Oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, we're about to jump into a thing we call the Grand Council. Before I do that, I got to remind you guys, the Grand Council is brought to you by Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors, Paul Breyer and his team over there, listen, they are doing amazing, cool stuff. You can find out more about them at their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. But Inspire Advisors right now, in the month of October and November, is offering classes right now to help you do deep dives into how to do your retirement planning, risk management, and do it all with what they call biblically responsible investing, making sure you keep all the woke out of your investment portfolio. So, yeah, Inspire Advisors, sponsor of the Grand Council. We appreciate it. Let's get moving. All right. Listen, this is a thing we do once a week called the Grand Council. I bring in two of my brethren in talk radio who've been doing it a lot longer than me, and they just let me hang out. But let me just call the roll. From FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poore Show. Oh, by the way, editor-in-chief for 1819 News and writes for Breitbart and a whole bunch of other stuff. Jeff Poore, how you doing?
I'm present.
You are indeed. Thank you, sir. And then from up yonder in the northern part of our listening area, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN, the host of the Dale Jackson Show, program manager extraordinaire. Oh, by the way, writes for Yellowhammer and does a bunch of other stuff, too. Dale Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I also apparently make donuts for the Phil Williams.
Yes, you do.
Group at Right Side Media.
Listen, got to make the donuts, man. Okay. Make the donuts. All right. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, JP.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. All right, let me go to the head donut maker for Right Side Media. That'd be Dale Jackson. First question, what you got, dude?
All right, so the Northern Beltline is going to cost $5 billion for 52 miles. Now, I'm not a math guy here, so maybe JP can help us out here.
I'm not either.
The road from the beach to Tennessee is going to be 360 miles. So we're looking at, I don't know, I'm trying to do the math here in my brain, but it's going to be roughly $39 billion to get that done. Are we ever going to do it?
Can we just go ahead and just scratch out the ground, make it a dirt road, and say this lane for four-wheel drive only, and just save ourselves the trouble? I mean, what in God's name? $5 billion for the Northern Beltway. I hadn't even seen that yet, but I don't doubt it. And that's a regulatory issue. That is literally making it so difficult to build a road that the costs go up exponentially. And then, oh, by the way, it's also, asphalt costs money, and it costs more money in the Biden economy. $5 billion. Jeff, weigh in.
So Northern Beltline is part of the Appalachian Regional Corridor that they had come up with, in the 60s or something.
Yeah.
The Northern Beltline's the last component of that. The reason why it's so expensive is it's so mountainy between that northern over going over that northern terrain of Birmingham. The widening of 65, aside from having to replace a few bridges, it's pretty easy or pretty inexpensive to widen a highway. Now, it's a long way, but,
you're questioning my math?
Question everything, Jeff.
It's existing road, and all you do is you come in and you just add that extra lane. Where it gets cost prohibitive will be through some of the metropolitan areas where it's already six lanes, but yeah, I guess you've got to add, if you're going down like 65 south of Birmingham, there's a bunch of bridges. You can't just add a lane on bridges. You have to redo the entire bridge and overpasses. If you think about it, you can't just add a lane there either. You got to try to figure out how to wind those overpasses. So I think it's way more doable, probably way more doable than the Northern Beltline.
So I guess I'm a little lost on the geography then. Where is the Northern Beltline from where to where?
So from Trussville, it'll circle up to around Gardendale, and then it'll connect and head south and go around that northwestern sort of part of Birmingham, Arkadelphia Road, and down into 59.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. And that's $5 billion for that.
They have a mile and a half portion of it they're working on right now. That it's just a road to nowhere.
That's just ungodly. It's your own question, Dale. What are your thoughts on it?
I just think it's just not something that all gets done at once. I mean, even if Will Ainsworth were to run on that and get elected, I just don't know how many bites at that you're going to actually get. Like how many of those pieces you're going to be able to get done in the 4-8 year term or whatever that he's going to be there. And Jeff, I think, laid it out pretty well. They've come up with this original plan win in the 60s.
Let me tell you what's going on here. This is very, very important. That's an all federal funded project. So the state doesn't have to put money into it because it's that Appalachian Regional Corridor. It's the same with like 72 that runs in the northern part of the state, and the same with Highway 24 down like Moulton into Franklin County. But the other deal of that is you have these real estate developers that want the Hoover became Hoover for what it is when 459 crossed 39 there.
Okay.
And 459 really changed the over-the-mountain suburbs.
You're starting to sound a lot like James Spann telling us everywhere in the state.
Yeah, there are people, real estate developers, who believe a Northern Beltline would do for North Birmingham what 459 did for southern suburbs, over the mountain suburbs in Birmingham in the 70s and 80s.
I don't know. We'll see. I think the jury's still out, but federal funds, that's better than knowing that we have to find a state budget for it. But even still, I look at it and think it's not going to happen quick. And like you said, the plan's been around since the 60s. We just finally got four lane of Highway 411 to connect Cherokee County to an interstate. They were one of the few counties in the state that didn't have more than two lane access to an interstate. And it took from the 60s until about 2 months ago to finally get it completed. And that was a 12-mile stretch. But anyway, all right, next question. Jeff, what do you got?
Give me a prognostication, guys, here less than an hour away.
Yeah.
Brett Baer versus Brett Baer interviewing Kamala Harris. I see high risk, low reward, but that's just me.
I think that, and I'm also hearing that there's a good chance she might go on Joe Rogan, which I look at and go, woo. I mean, Brett Baer is not gonna allow himself to be categorized in the CBS, dump box. He's not gonna let himself be put us into that. You didn't really do a good job, and you edited it thereafter. He's gonna press down. He's gonna ask questions. He's gonna hold her feet to the fire. At some point, he'll back off, go to the next question. But he'll also make it clear she didn't answer if she doesn't answer. I think it's gonna be a hoot. I'm getting the popcorn ready, Dale.
As someone who grew up in a middle-class family, I'm very excited about this. I think this could be her undoing. Does Brett Baer, want to go down as the guy who took out Kamala Harris? Maybe.
Maybe. We'll just listen. I mean, he's got his opportunity. But there are people are saying he's not going to do a good job. I think he will. I think he knows he has to.
I've done a little original reporting on this today. And I was speaking with Todd Pyro from Fox and Friends First, and he said, expect him to push. That's what he told me. He expects him to push pretty hard.
I agree. Wrap it up then, Jeff. Your own question. What are you thinking on it?
Only thing I worry about is whenever these Fox guys get one of these high-profile interviews, and it's not all of them, but I don't know where Brett Baer will be, and maybe he'll do an honest job, but they want a curry favor. They want to show that they're not your typical right-wing ideologue on Fox News, and they tend to get soft a little bit. The worst offender was always Chris Wallace, but he's gone now.
Oh, yeah.
So I expect it'll probably be fine. The thing that's just a mystery to me, though, is why would you do this if you're Kamala Harris?
I think she's desperate. I think she's desperate. She knows that every time she's done an interview that there have been questions about whether it was real or whether it was edited or whether it was, questions given to her in advance. I think she's desperate. Hey, listen,
nails it, it's a huge deal, right?
And that's true. I think if she nails it, she has the potential to get back some gravitas, but I don't know that she can. To be honest with you, especially with,
I mean, it's not Kamala Harris. It's going to be hard to nail.
And then next question, real
Dale,
quick.
Why do you continue to be terrible? You can't let that slide, Senator. You gotta reprimand him.
I've got a red dump button, but we've already passed the 8 second point. So I don't know that I can even get to it now. Real quick. Kamala Harris pandering, pot and money. She's offering black men only lots of money and bags of pot. Give me your quick thoughts on this, Dale. You first. Get the red.
So the argument is, black guys, would you like some more drugs and money?
That's what she's offering: drugs and money.
Okay. I think if Trump suggested that, we might be having a very different conversation.
You think, Jeff? What do you got?
No, I agree. I don't know. I don't think it works. There's something just so cringe about her that turns off a lot of people, and that's not going to fix it.
And on that, I think we all know that I agree. Let's take it to a break. That's round one of the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson, who narrowly escaped having the red button pushed. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll come right back. Round two. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Going back to round two right now with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson and me. We call it the Grand Council. So I think the first question is supposed to be Dale. Dale, what pray tell do you have for the group round two?
If you were advising people who are watching this election and just as observers, and they keep talking about the poly markets and the betting markets and all these other things, do you tell them those are a thing, or do we generally just accept that that's just nonsense and it's wish casting?
JP thinks it's a thing.
No, he also thinks that you can't melt steel with jet
fuel.
That's
not true.
I'll be honest with you. I think to some degree it's a thing. It's a harbinger of where people's thoughts are and where they're putting their money. It's absolutely new to me that this is a way of gauging things. But heck, you got the friggin' the bakery that has the cookie poll and it works. So I look at this as being another opportunity to see what the whims of people are saying. And I think if they're willing to put money on something, that it kind of indicates sentiment. So, Jeff, weigh in.
No, this goes back like a couple of cycles. They've been doing this with the prediction markets and European markets where it's legal to bet on this or what they use it. But there's also some kind of calculus. They have to set it at a certain point to get it going. I think it's a pretty accurate prognosticator. It just has been over the years. I mean, they got Biden right, and they got it broke for Trump really, really late, if I recall, during the 16 cycle.
It's breaking hard for Trump right now. I mean, he's up like we were talking earlier. He's up like 12 points over just where he was last week. Kind of a significant bump in the poly market. Your own thoughts there, real quick, Dale. What are you thinking?
I don't know, man. I think it's a momentum thing, no question about it.
It is that. The polls, yeah.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. I don't know. I'm kind of torn on the whole thing. That's why I brought it up.
There's a science, there's a legitimate science to it. And it's not just, you know, money, and I mean, that's part of it, but there really is, like, hey, let's look at this, the polling and how that changed over the decades and historical precedent. I think there's a science to it that's legitimate.
All right. Next question, Jeff Rowe, what you got for us?
There is absolutely no way these Big Ten mayors in this state think that they can get permitless carry repealed. Do they really believe that?
By the way, are all Big Ten really on board with that? All Big
Ten. So they say they're not. We had a reporter call Sandy Stimson. He and Mercado are only two to really respond to us and say, no, there's not really anything to this. I think maybe three or four of them are, but there's no way you're going to get all Big Ten on this.
No,
that's what Woodfin and Reed are telegraphing.
Woodfin and Reed also telegraph a lot of things, but I look at it and go, no, there's no way in the world Tommy Battle's going to recognize the winds of change have brought him around to being let's get rid of the permitless carry. It's not going to happen. And the idea that the whole Big Ten, and for those who don't know, it's the top 10 biggest, not top 10, but the biggest 10 cities in the state of Alabama are called the Big Ten mayors. I do not see it happening. Can't believe it. I think Woodfin is blowing smoke. Woodfin, oh, by the way, needs to distract from his own failings on the issues. And so the idea that he's co-opting other people by saying, well, there's other people like me that agree. Well, how about you name them, big boy? Dale.
Senator, can you name all 10? Because I think Jeff Poore is the only person in the state, including the 10 that are there, that can actually name all 10.
If you gave me a few minutes, I might. But no, not right now.
I could
do 6, 7. I can get there. Anyway, Dale, your thoughts?
I think they're just wish casting here. I don't think they have any desire to actually do this. Woodfin and Reed just want to appear like they're in the middle of something that's happening. They finally arrested somebody in Birmingham, by the way, for the Five Point South mass shooting.
Yeah.
Here he's killed 6 people in 3 days, apparently. So this guy is not a good guy.
Wow.
And they've got him off the streets, and Glock switches are now made him do it. So hopefully they arrest those too.
Well, let's keep the theme going then, because my next question was on Woodfin and Reed. I did notice a difference though. Woodfin came out recently, and he wants a new study group to decide how best to fight crime. We need a study group. We need some thinkers to sit around and think and talk and whiteboard this thing and figure out. But I will say this. It appears that down in Montgomery, Stephen Reed and the other folks down there that lead those areas, they just formed a joint task force, and they've been out arresting people. Am I wrong, or am I seeing a divergence in how the two most liberal mayors in the state are handling things, and one of them appears to have gotten it right? Your thoughts on it, Jeff?
I'm still not convinced that Montgomery is in the clear, and that this is really what it's going to take, this task force. I think it's, you know, they just got a green light, some changes at the police department. But you're right about that. There is a divergence. There seems to be a more of a surrender to the experts with Montgomery than there is Birmingham.
Dale Jackson, what say you?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. One wants to do something about it right now. The other wants to do yet another study. And I just don't know if the studies are going to lead you to anything other than, you know what you should do? You should put some people in jail and leave them there. I think we all know the answer to the studies, but they're going to do it anyway. And Reed's like, somebody help me. And the attorney general's like, well, our office is here, so I guess we'll help you.
Well, I mean, I think in political speak, the word study means we don't want to deal with it, so we'll pretend we're dealing with it by putting it into a committee where it can get studied. And that's how you delay and or obfuscate and or just don't do it.
He didn't call any of us to be in the committee.
You know, if he had called us, we could have rectified the entire situation.
But doesn't it seem like every couple of months this loser does this? He has a press conference, talks about some new initiative that they thought of, and the crime continues to get worse.
Yeah, and the population tends to get smaller because everybody's leaving.
Or getting killed.
And yeah, that too. All right, fellas, we're up against it. Appreciate you both. Jeff Poore, 1819 News, and the host of the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile. And Dale Jackson, writing for Yellowhammer News. But oh, by the way, he's the program guy / host at WVNN up in Huntsville. The Grand Council with just little old me added in for, I don't know, color commentary. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. No kidding. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I got you had a is there a call on the line? There's no call on the line right now.
No, but he did want me to pose a question to you to answer. Right. Basically, he asked, since Democratic cities and Democrats go after the Second Amendment so much, Republican states, you know, why don't they almost go the opposite route and you know, actively educate people on firearms? And I don't think he necessarily wants, you know, them to actively arm people, but to go the other way, instead of attacking the Second Amendment, you know, educate people on gun use, safety, you know, such.
You know what's interesting is, first of all, we have a thing here in the state of Alabama. They actually advertise on the show, the Civilian Marksmanship Program, the CMP. If you're not familiar with the CMP, this almost feels like we set this up. We didn't. This is totally off. But I'm going to give them an extra free plug here. But the CMP, the Civilian Marksmanship Program, is a quasi-governmental entity. Now, they were originally a government program, period, until I think it was Barbara Boxer got all bent because the government was selling guns to people, and they were. And it all started off with there were so many M1 Garands. And M1, mostly the Garands, the carbines less so, but the Garands especially, after World War II, I'm talking like hundreds and hundreds of thousands around the world, because we had made them just in mass quantities for the war effort, shipped them off to allied countries. They're still, to this day, they'll find crates of unopened M1 Garands like in the Philippines in a storage container, you know, and like, wow. Well, the CMP, there's only two locations in the entire nation where you can buy. And now they have, by the way, now they have also the 45 caliber pistol, the M1911.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've got those. As of this year, they started selling surplus of those. But they have been finding these things now for 50 years, and there's only two places in the entire nation where you can walk in the door to an entity called the CMP and buy a used government-issued rifle. One's in, I think, Rock River, Illinois, I believe it is, and the other one is right here in Anniston, Alabama.
Wow.
And they did so much. They had so much sales effort over the years. They finally built the CMP Park in Talladega, Alabama, which is the most incredible and sophisticated shooting range in the world. And it's open to the public. Go pay your fee and shoot. And they do education there, and they do youth sporting events there. They have guides that help you learn how to be more proficient with your weapon. And it's so actually there is an entity out there that does stuff. So there's that. It's got a total role there. You just got me on guns. And actually, the next topic was going to be on guns: live free or die. So the other piece of this is it's really not government's role to do a lot of that. You have to begin questioning, what is the true function of government? The true function of government is to protect the Second Amendment from being infringed, less than equipping people to exercise their Second Amendment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you almost don't want to go too far the other way to combat, you know, because the left shouldn't be attacking the Second Amendment in the first place.
Right.
So, you know, we have to be careful not to go too far the other way. It would look like, you know, we're arming people.
Yeah, we're not going to arm citizens,
yeah,
per se. But there's absolutely a responsibility of government to prevent the Second Amendment from being infringed. Did I answer his question? I hope I did.
I think you did, yeah.
Okay. Well, if I didn't, dang, I sure had a good little rant. We got, by the way, something came out. This was actually in my stack. I have this dipper that I'm not going to have much time for, because I want to get some of these text messages that just piled up on me. But I will say this. It was brought up during the Grand Council a moment ago about the Big Ten mayors. The Big Ten mayors are going to wind up being, let's see if I can name them, Huntsville, Birmingham, Montgomery, Mobile, I think Tuscaloosa. My goodness. See, I got five. I have to stop and think about Dothan,
I don't think Gadsden is in the Big Ten because Etowah County is almost like a metro area. There's so many towns that run together, but Gadsden itself is like 39,000, so it's not. Madison's one of the Big Ten. Anyway, all said and done, you got the Big Ten mayors. There's a rumor that's been going around that the Big Ten were planning to formulate a plan to push to repeal the open carry law that we have here in the state of Alabama. If you're not familiar, we have a permitless open carry, and it's actually a permitless concealed carry. Let me get that straight. We have open carry, which we've had for years, and then in 2022, we finally passed a permitless concealed carry in the state of Alabama. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to get the same respect when you go to another state. So I go ahead, I have a concealed carry permit anyway because other states will recognize your permit before they will recognize that you didn't have to have a permit, if that makes sense. So if I go to another state, the back of my Alabama-based concealed carry permit, I just pay the $20 to my sheriff's department, and I have a card that tells me on the back all the states that respect my concealed carry rights using that permit. It's a good idea to have. If you're traveling with a weapon, which I believe is a reasonable thing, if you're traveling with a weapon, you need to know what states are going to, you know, tank you for it and which ones are going to respect your rights. But right now, here in Alabama, there's allegedly a rumor going around. Story here on 1819 News came out yesterday. House Democrats take aim at the state's constitutional carry law, and it says it was rumored that the Big Ten were planning to back the push. First of all, it won't happen. You're not going to see the mayors of Madison and Huntsville and, Tuscaloosa, you might, because he just is. But you're not going to see the more conservative base mayors pushing for an infringement of the Second Amendment, especially when the law is new. Now, will Woodfin do it? Yes. Will Reed do it? Yes. I mean, Tuscaloosa's mayor? Absolutely. I believe he will. But Democratic lawmakers are working on this issue. House Bill 58 by State Representative Chris England is going to try and add criminal penalties to certain aspects of the permitless carry. All they're trying to do is find a way in, trying to chink the armor, trying to get themselves in the door. Well, they're just mad that we've got this thing passed. You've got another bill by State Representative Kenyatta Hassel that would reattach the requirement to acquire a permit to carry certain kinds of weapons. Okay. I'm sure what he's looking at is, let's see, an assault weapon, which can be defined as a semi-automatic rifle that has the ability to accept a detachable magazine. Okay. And it could also have a pistol grip, because dang, that pistol grip makes it more deadly. It could also have a thumb hole stock. Ooh, no, don't do the thumb hole stock. It could also have a folding or a telescoping stock. Well, dang. A flash suppressor, a muzzle brake, a muzzle compensator. Don't do it. A grenade launcher or a flare launcher. Listen, if you've got a home grenade launcher, I want to know. You and I need to hang out. Just saying. It can also have any feature capable of functioning as a protruding grip that can be held by the non-trigger hand. You know what that means? That means a foregrip, like this, basically it's just simply something you hang on to. It's a nothing burger. Every time somebody attacks the Second Amendment, they make themselves look like rubes. In fact, whoever wrote this bill just went out there and said, tell me things about assault weapons, and they began writing down their list. They don't know anything about it. The detachable magazine makes it more deadly. Really? No, it really doesn't. But it's not going
to
happen.
So to play devil's advocate just for a little bit here, I don't want to chase rabbits too much on it, but what is the argument for a state like Alabama to have permitless, like to not require a permit on, was it concealed carry?
Permitless concealed carry. The argument is that the Second Amendment says that the right to bear arms shall not be infringed, and requiring a permit merely to carry a weapon that you're otherwise allowed to carry openly, but now it's underneath your shirt, is an absolute infringement. It's the government restricting how you can carry. Well, if you're going to say you can carry at all, well then, now you're going to say you can't carry unless we can see it?
Mm-hmm.
And is it less or more deadly that you actually have it tucked away? Well, the end result is it's not scary to be a concealed carry permit guy. And the simple matter is you've got government deciding the winners and the losers. And if the government gets a chance to say you can or cannot have your Second Amendment or your First Amendment or your Fourth Amendment, or they can at least curtail it or make it tailored to what they want it to do, then do you really have an amendment in your favor? Do you have a right at that point?
I know somebody like Woodfin would say, like, hey, I'm trying to get the crime under my city under control. We got to start, you know, permitting who can carry guns, which obviously the right rebuttal to that is start throwing the criminals in jail. But that would be like Woodfin's response of, you know, I'm trying to keep these criminals from having guns. You know, we just should do it that way.
If he does that, who on the street is going to be the ones breaking the law?
That's exactly, yeah.
It's going to be the criminals.
Yeah, criminals, because they didn't listen to the law in the first place. Yeah. So you're just restricting law-abiding citizens from being able to protect themselves. But
exactly,
it's just
right.
Playing devil's advocate in the sense of, you know, that's going to be somebody like Woodfin's response, instead of actually trying to address the problem of he's not enabling police officers. He's not putting criminals in jail. He's going to focus on the guns, which they like to do. But yeah, you know, that's going to be the question they ask. Is like, why can't we permit who has the guns? We want to make people, you know, make it safer.
Well, and then watch out for red flag laws.
Yeah,
because red flag laws, who decides what's a red flag? The government. And next thing you know, well, you appear to have had a divorce. Where your wife said mean things about you, that we're going to red flag you, and now you can't have a firearm. Or there was an anonymous tip that was given to us that you might have taken antidepressants when you were 12, and now you can't have a firearm. So, listen, the end result of this is government has to enforce your rights. Government should not be in the business of curtailing your rights or deciding who's allowed to have their rights. Otherwise, it gets very, very murky.
It opens
very
Pandora's
fast.
Box.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it does. All right, we're going to take a break right now. Take me to the break, JP. When we come back, I'm going to dive right into a ton of text messages. Good Lord, y'all are some texting machines. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, I do have to point out that if you think that there are not going to be the Big Ten mayors trying to curtail, you know, your Second Amendment rights, just know this, some of the Big Five mayors are trying. And if you didn't know, the Montgomery City Council actually passed a requirement for concealed carry to require photo ID to even, in other words, without photo ID, you weren't going to be allowed to abide by state law. They were adding on. Never mind that in the stacking of laws, state preempts local and federal preempts state. And if it's not law, then you can do something. But if there's a preemptive law in place, you can't just go around it or add on to it. Well, Montgomery City Council apparently heard clearly the Attorney General, Steve Marshall, who's going to be on the show here with us next week. He let them know real quickly that ordinance is illegal. And we'll find out what happened, but they were scheduled to have a Montgomery City Council meeting, I think, today or last night maybe, and it may get repealed because it was on the agenda. So we'll see. I got a ton of text messages, and I also got Jeff from Indiana on the phone. Jeff Rowe, are you feeling better, buddy?
I was until I ran into all this traffic in Nashville.
Oh, well, so you guys had the China flu at your house, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's wonderful. It's about the third time I've had it. First time I lost my sense of smell, second time I got ears ringing, and this time I lost my sense of smell again. So
wow.
It's coming around.
Wow. Well, you know, since you keep eating fried fish and pickled eggs, that may be all the problem, really. Or maybe that helps your problem. I don't know.
It helps if you're eating pickled raw. The trouble is, I can still taste though.
What do you think about all this stuff today? What do you think? Hey, what do you think? By the way, what do you think of Kamala's 5-point plan to benefit black men and get their vote?
I just can't wait to hear this interview here in about 5 minutes or so from to see what Brett Baer asked her. You know.
Yeah.
Hopefully, he pumps her on some of that stuff too. It's like I say, it's a Hail Mary throw, man. She's throwing up everything and seeing what sticks on the wall.
It's just
because she has no substance.
No,
I mean,
she doesn't.
Know, when you don't have no substance, you got to do something.
And I think Brett Baer is one of the more substantive people on air right now in terms of trying to be even keeled, but yet, you know, maintain his integrity in doing it. I'm looking forward to seeing how he does. If he gives her a pass, I'm gonna be ticked.
Yeah, if you don't sit there and if she says the word salad on him, you know, and everything, you need to cut the word salad short and everything, make it a side salad instead of just a full salad, you know.
Do you think she would dare? Do you think she would dare with Brett Baer say, "I was born in a middle class family"? Do you think she'll go down that road?
Oh, she's going to say everything she can just to keep the questions to a minimum. You know, she's going to. Oh gosh, dang it! What's the word for it?
Filibustering.
Filibuster. There you go.
She's going to filibuster and obfuscate. Filibuster and obfuscate. Exactly. That's where she's probably going to try and go.
That's why I need a lawyer on my side.
All right, man. Hey, I got to get some text messages here, but be careful on the road, and I'm glad you're feeling better.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
See
you,
buddy. Bye-bye. Badger from Athens checked in. He says, if you bought a gun in a state that's registered to you, do you have to re-register it here if you move here? We don't register guns. We don't register guns. So you don't have to register at all. So the answer is no. Now, if you go onto a military installation or you're stationed on a military installation, you have to register your guns. That's an interesting piece, by the way. Hugh from Huntsville says, a conservative amendment to conceal carry requires the representative making the amendment has to pass a gun safety background check. the representative, meaning this, the state representative, that would be a hoot. If you're gonna pass an amendment to the gun law, you have to first know something about guns, is what he's trying to say. Interesting. Chris from Huntsville says, this is the account on Tim Walz, and I don't know.
Be careful with that one.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave that one alone. That's a storyline right now that is unvetted, and it's making the rounds just in like some very limited circles. Let's put it that way. Joe from Indiana, is it illegal to offer money for votes? I thought it was, and yet Kamala appears to absolutely be offering money for votes. Pam from Locust Forks says, what kind of punishment would happen to an everyday white person if they bribed a person of color with money and drugs? But since Harris is a part of the Democrat Party, she's untouchable. You know, Pam, you nailed it. Moon Pie from Madison says, Jeff Poor indicated that at times some Fox News interviewers have gone soft with high-profile interviewees from the left. I think that even if Brett Baer were to do that with Kamala Harris, as long as she just lets her talk, she'll not do well. So basically, all he has to do is say, and go, and see how it goes.
Well, Bill O'Reilly argued yesterday, I can't remember what show he was on, but he said that the stakes are actually higher for Brett Baer than for Kamala Harris in this interview, in the sense of if he flops, then he's, you know, the pressure's on him as well to not let her wiggle out of this. So.
That's an interesting point. He's already made it clear, too. He said there will be no editing except to allow for time constraints.
Yeah, and obviously that's cutting out, you know, the ums or stuff that doesn't, yeah, you know, nothing of substance.
Skipping the spaces between questions. I bet they're also probably going to issue the full transcript.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it's going to be interesting. It starts pretty soon. I can't wait to see it. Jeremy from Madison is checking in. I can't see it, brother. You sent me a candidate fact sheet, and I don't have it in front of me. Tom from Huntsville says, does that bypass they're talking about building go through Rock Ridge? I don't know, Tom. I can't ask. I can't help you there. John from Harvest says, the border issue with illegal ballots being counted has me really concerned. I told friends this election was a clean one where only eligible voters voted. I think Trump would win by an electoral landslide. Well, we will see, brother. In the meantime, pray about it. But hey, do not forget, there are more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. And oh, by the way, stay in the fight. See you tomorrow.